Okay, Dega Machina Ephraim Parshas Vayeshev. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kanaan. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv. Yaakov lived in the same place that his father lived. In the dwelling place of his father. He settled into the place of his father. And we see that there's a strong hamshacha by the Avos. That while each of the Avos is doing his own thing, there's a continuity to the way of the Avos. That Avram has a way, but Yitzchak follows Avram's way and paves his own way. Yaakov here, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, Yaakov lives in the place where his father dwelt, but it's also his own way. Yesh lefarish bezeh ki adua, b'makom sheyesh hasrash hashchina sham, af she'achar kach nistalek nishar roshem hakadusha l'olam. Whenever Shechina, and again this is very fitting as we think about Hanukkah, and olive oil, and olive oil's ability to make a roshem, to make a stain, to leave a mark. We said that if you spell out the word shemen, shin mem nun, it's gematria roshem, because it leaves a mark. So wherever there's hashras hashchina, wherever the shechina is present, even after it's nistalik, it has left a roshem of kedusha on that place. The place has been impacted by that which took place in that makom. So that's what it means. When it says that Yaakov lived in his father's dwelling place, it means that even after his father was no longer there, it was still his father's dwelling place. It was still his father's place. It was a roshem from the kedusha of his father. In the same place that his father made Yehudim, and again, whatever that means, Api Kabbalah, but the place where his father was living with Hashem, Yaakov Avinu went back to that place, and he could sense this is a place of holiness. V'zeu megure lashon asifa v'yichud kamo megoira maleya peiros. He says megure could be a lashon of gathering in, of unifying. Again, there's some concept al pipnimius called being miyached yichudim. Whatever that means, I mamish don't know what that means, but it's a sense of unifying the various pieces of life, moving things towards that echad of Hashem. To be miyached yichudim. So Yaakov went to the place where his father was miyached yichudim, where his father gathered things in. In other words, he went to that place and he sensed, this is a place where my father had a hashpa. He says, Megure is lashon of a megoira malaya peros, some type of vessel that contains many fruits. Nikra al shem shesham nesaf biyachad hatvua al makom echad. Right? A megora is called a megora because it gathers things in. It's a storage place. It's a place to store things. So Yaakov came to the place where his father had stored much kedusha. So again, this alludes to the holy acts that Yitzchak performed in that place. And certainly, he says, a roshem of holiness remains. So what that means is, even if, let's say, you know, God forbid, this yeshiva one day was sold to be a non-kosher diner. Imagine this room became a non-kosher diner. Chas v'shalom. Yeah? But a person of spiritual sensitivity could walk in here and say, hey, wait a minute, there's something holy happened here once. I could feel there were Jews who once learned Torah in this place. There were Jews who once davened in this place. There were Jews who tried to grow in Yiddishkeit in this place. It leaves a roshem on the place. And Yaakov sensed that. Ulakach yoshev Yaakov sham ki amakom gorem. And therefore Yaakov was able to recognize that the place has an energy, and he wanted to further attach himself to the efforts of his father. And he says a beautiful line here, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, kedusha goreres kedusha. In a place where mitzvahs were performed, in a place where holiness was acted out, so why not go weiter in that place? And this is really the reason I picked this piece to teach to you. Because the Anshei Emes, the Tzaddikim explain, the Pasuk at the beginning of Tehillim, Uvamoshav Leitzim Lo Yashav. Not to sit in the place of Leitzim, Ki Hamakom Gorem Chas V'Shalom. It's almost winter break, and it's time for people to think about, where do you hang out when you're not hanging out in Washington Heights? And you have to understand that there's a hashva of the makom. I'm not talking about what's even happening in that place. You could be in a place where nothing's happening right now, but if it's a place that was used previously for holy things, you'll be able to be elevated by that. If it's a place that is typically used for unholy things, so you can be dragged down by that. What's he talking about? What's this pasuk of Moshe of Leitzim Lo Yashav? So in the edition that I have here, and I've seen this in other Sfarim as well, he quotes in the footnote from the Sifsei Tzadikim in Parshas Emor. Let's learn a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. It says in Pirkei Avos, Shnayim sheyoshvin ve'ein b'neim divrei Torah hareza Moshe of Leitzim. If two people sit together and there's no Torah between them, then this is called a Moshe of Leitzim. It's called the gathering of you know, foolish people. So the Sefer Sifsei Tzadikim, and again other Sfarim ask it as well, say, I don't understand. First of all, you start off by saying, Shnayim sheyoshvin, two who sit together, ve'ein beinehem divrei Torah, and they don't have Torah between them, hare zeh Moshe v'leitzim. Why is it in the singular? Hare zeh Moshe v'leitzim. It's more than one person. The second question he says is, why does it say, Shnayim sheyoshvin, ve'ein beinehem divrei Torah? Why doesn't it say, Shnayim sheyoshvin, ve'ein omrim divrei Torah? Doesn't it mean, ein beinehem divrei Torah? And thirdly, what does it mean, uva moshav leitzim lo yashav? Why do we bring a pasuk to prove the point? Just tell me, two guys who are wasting their time are wasting their time. What do you mean, uva moshav leitzim lo yashav? What's the proof, so to speak, from the pasuk of David HaMelech? And the answer is like this. They tell a story of the Baal Shem Tov. I saw this vart brought in the Sefer called Zichron Av. He tells a story that the Baal Shem Tov was traveling one time, and all of a sudden, the driver of the wagon turned around and started attacking the Baal Shem Tov out of nowhere. The guy was like a nice guy. He was driving along in his wagon. All of a sudden, the guy looks at the Baal Shem Tov like a maniac, and he starts attacking the Baal Shem Tov. So Baal Shem Tov screams to the Talmid, "Whip the horses, get the wagon moving." So they whip the horses, they get the wagon moving, and all of a sudden, the guy like totally snaps out of it. He starts apologizing to the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov says, "Don't worry, it's okay." Talmidim say to the Baal Shem Tov, "What was that?" So Baal Shem Tov says, we just passed over, I think the Nusach was, we just passed over the place where Cain killed Hevel. So it's a place where if a person is an unrefined person, it has a very, very powerful Hashpana person. So our wagon driver, this Orel wagon driver, when we crossed over that place, so it was a murderous spot, so he was overcome with this spirit of murder. So I knew if we can get the wagon moving, that would solve the problem. So that's the pshat in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Shnayim sheyoshvin ve'im b'neim divrei Torah. If you have two people who are sitting together, who normally would talk Torah, yeah? You have two people who like to learn Torah. Jared and Max are sitting together. They both like Torah. So why are they not talking Torah? Shnayim sheyoshvin ve'ein b'neihem divrei Torah. Why? That's so weird. Two guys who like Torah don't share any Torah? How could that be? The answer is, harei zeh Moshe of Leitzim. It's the place which is having a hashpa on them. It must be they're sitting in a place where whoever ate lunch in that seat right before them was very anti-Torah. And it's having a hashpa on them. They don't even realize it. Uva Moshe of Leitzim lo yashav. It doesn't mean don't sit amongst those people who are Leitzim. It means don't sit in a place where Leitzim previously sat. Because there's a hashpas hamakom. So that's what it means. That's what it means. When Yaakov says, I want to establish my place by my father's place. Because I know it's a holy place. I know it's a good place. He's able to sense and tap into the hashpa, the roshem. Like the Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Right? When a tzaddik leaves a place, so it's osa roshem, it makes a roshem. Not just a roshem of, oh man, we missed the tzaddik now that he's gone. But he made a roshem when he was there. He left a mark on the place. So says the Degel Machane Ephraim, v'chol shekein b'makom shayi kedusha. So if sitting in a place where people previously acted with leitzanis could cause you, a person who actually likes learning Torah, to not learn Torah, because literally there's a hashpas hamakom. So the more so when there's a hashpa of positivity. When you go to a place that was previously used for holy things, shitofeses mekoma, certainly that will have an influence. Kimida tova meruba, vigoreres techino v'akasha utfila v'yichud. Because if a negative place could drag you down, then a positive place could certainly bring you up. And we've all felt that experience in our life. Where you're in a certain place, and you just, it makes you feel spiritually connected. You just feel something there. You feel a pull. And it's because of the previous acts of holiness and mitzvahs that were performed there. Mitzvah goreres mitzvah, kedusha goreres kedusha, he says. V'davar azeh noeg tamid b'chol adam v'chol zman. This applies to all people at all times. So, chaver, it's important for us to think, as we come to the end of the semester, and people figure out their plans for the break, make sure you put yourself not just around holy people, but in a holy place. There's mamish ha-hashpaz ha-makum. If you go to a place which is a sinful place, mela, it drags a person down. We really believe that as Jews. Okay? All right, let's turn the page. Oye Amar al derech hanizkar leil. It's probably just the next page. You see it? Ach ein medrash below chiddush. You see it? What page? Ayin dalet. Oye Amar al derech hanizkar leil. Ach ein medrash below chiddush. I'll say something similar to what I mentioned earlier, even though I mentioned it earlier, there's always something new to say. He gives just the word of Musa here. It doesn't really matter how it's connected to the parsha. I just want you to see these very fiery words. Ki yadua bevadai lechol mi sheyesh lo moach bekad kado. It is well known to anyone who has a brain in their skull. Sha Torah hi nitzchias. That Torah is eternal. It's not a history book. It's not some ancient philosophy. Right? The stories of the Torah are eternal. The mitzvos of the Torah are eternal. If you have a brain in your skull, you know that to be true. Kenizkar kamapam b'zohar kadosh, as the Zohar mentions in many places, very, very harsh words of a person who studies Torah as if it's any other text. Tipach ruchan min osam sheomrim she'ein b'torah rak sipure maisios upshat v'nekro apikorsim. The Zohar says, may the spirit of those who claim that the Torah is nothing other than silly little stories and the simple pshat, if you don't look deeper into the Torah and you just read it as a very simplistic storybook or a very simplistic historical account of what once was, so such a person is an apikoros. You're a fool. You're a fool to think that God, in his very, very limited text that he transmitted to us, less than 6,000 verses, it would be pretty foolish to think that God wasted so much space on listing names of Esav's family, of Yishmael's family, of telling us about all the different types of sheep that Yaakov is tending to. If you think that's the be-all and end-all of what those psukim's about, you're a fool. You don't have a brain in your head, he says. You're not pikaris. Hashem gave us such a limited text. You think he's going to waste space on telling us some practical advice on how to be a shepherd? That's why the Arizal says the deepest secrets of the Torah are those speckled and spotted and striped sheep. The Akudim, the Kudim, Berudim. It's mamish the secrets of creation in the writings of the Arizal. So don't be a fool, says the Derebach and Ephraim. Ki bavadai kishmo keinu. Because the Torah is exactly what we call it. It's a Torah. What does the word Torah mean? I told you once, Arashi in Chulin, that Torah means Shashma Torah al Shem lahoros haderech asher neilech ba. Every letter of Torah, is guiding us. Like a mora, like a teacher, it's teaching us how to walk through life, v'shamasa asher nasa, and how to do and what to do. Pay close attention to what every little move that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov made. It applies to you. Kein mefayrish b'kra, v'haynu al derech mashal sheshamati. He says this is explicit in the pasuk. He's referring to the pasuk in Parshas Yisro. The pasuk in Yisro says exactly this: v'adat alam es haderech asher yelchuba v'shamaisa asher yasun. I mean, the pasuk says, by Kabbalah Satara, or right around Kabbalah Satara, right before Kabbalah Satara, in Shemos Perak Yud Ches. In Parshas Yisro, it says that the Torah, it basically tells us that the Torah is going to what? Is going to give you a derech, the derech that Yelchu ba, to walk upon, v'samasa asher yasun, and the things that you should do. So you say, all right, the pasuk that says, keep Shabbos, that's telling me what to do. No, the pasuk that says that Alifa has married a woman named Timna is telling you what to do also. What? Why do I care about the Pilegesh of Esav's son? That tells me what to do? Yes. Rav Moshe of Kabrin said, Timna is a lashon of menios, of things that get in our way. Menios, blockage, not thinking you're able to do something, that's a pilegesh of Elisa. That's the world of Esav. As Jews, we can do anything. The whole world of Timna is a wife of Esav. By a Jew, there's no Timna. There's no such thing as a Menia that you can't overcome. So yes, it's not just telling you a historical fact. There was some lady named Timna who married the son of Esav. I don't care about that. That's what you think the whole Torah is? The lesson is teaching us something. So every letter of Torah is teaching us how to live our lives. I'll tell you a mashal femtov. I heard from my grandfather. Imagine, gazlanim shiyashu b'echad. Imagine a group of robbers who are camped out in a forest waiting to ambush people. And what do? Vishalchu misham ish echad tamid. They send out one of their men, lifatos echad sheyelech lesham, to try to lure someone in. So these guys are hiding out in the forest. They send someone out, and the person says, "Oh, hi, I need, you know, can you help me? My wagon's stuck in the forest. You think you can give me a hand?" And some nice innocent guy follows this chacham into the forest. And then, of course, when he gets to the forest, the robbers seize upon him, they fall upon him, and they kill him, and they take his stuff. So they send someone out in order to seduce someone, lefatos echad sheyelech lesham, to lure someone in, to trap someone into the forest, kadesh yahargu oso v'yikhu mamono, to kill him and to take his money. So my friends, if you're smart, right, if you're smart and you're paying attention, you never get off that highway, you don't get off the main road to go into the forest with some stranger. Baal Shem Tov gave this as a mashal, mishu chacham einav barosho. A person who is smart, who has eyes in his head, knows, I don't know who you are. You look like a decent guy, but I'm not following some stranger into the forest. Not in this part of the world. Lo rotza leilech hasham, I'm not going there. V'zeu gam kein aderech asher neilech ba. And the Baal Shem Tov gave this as a mashal, how the Yetzirah is always trying to pull us off the main road. What is the main road? It's a pasuk in Chumash. V'odata lahem es haderech. Hashem says, I'm giving you a derech. If you stay on the road of Torah, you're safe. The second the Yetzirah says, come, I need your help with something, you could be getting ambushed. You could be killed, and all your money, meaning all your mitzvahs, can be taken from you. Haynu aderech hayasher, v'lo acher pitoy hayetzahara, shemafat telahavit es adam, k'mashal anizkar. Don't fall for the seduction of the Yetzirah when he tries to lure you off the road. The Torah is the derech, is the road. Ves hamasa asher ya'asun. What does that mean? Again, that pasuk in Yisro. Haynu af hamaisios sheish b'torah. Hamasa, the story, maisa means a story. The stories of the Torah, asher ya'asun, it's telling you how to do. Read the stories carefully. Ask yourself, Yosef being sold by his brothers, what does that mean for me? What am I supposed to learn from that? Reuven saving Yosef, what am I supposed to learn from that? Dipping his coat in blood, what am I supposed to learn from that? Yosef has dreams, what am I supposed to learn from that? Every maisa of the story, it's a masa asher ya'asun. It's a maisa that's telling you to do something. Haynu af ha-maisios sheish b'torah, asher ya'asun gam le'olam. That the stories of the Torah are also telling you an eternal message of what to do. Ki advarim heim chayim v'kayamim le'olam. Because the stories go forever. U'bevada ha-maisa zeh shel inin yeshivas Yaakov v'chol ma'orosov, heim meramzim sodos amukim v'niflam. And therefore, when you read these psukim, Yaakov settled in the land that his father sojourned. Right? Pay attention. There's tons of secrets for someone who keeps their eyes open. And don't assume that you're not able to do it, by the way. Sometimes, try it one time. Just sit with the Torah, read the psukim, and make up your own chidushim. Try it. Because mamish, there's things to see right before your eyes. You have to just look deep. Don't be scared to give it a shot. Okay? All right, let's keep going. Let's do the piece. O ye Amer Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. Okay, got it? Where is it on the page? Ayin Hay. O ye Amer Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. Now look how, okay, he was just telling us you can read into a pasuk in a deep way. Watch how he reads this pasuk in a really deep way. Right, Eila told us Yaakov. the real way to read the pasuk, second pasuk in the parsha. Ela told us Yaakov. These are the chronicles of Yaakov, right? Yosef ben Shavasre Shana. Yosef was 17 years old and he was shepherding his sheep, his father's sheep, etc. Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. Shahayatamid holech madrega la madrega umosif aholech b'chol yom tzedakos umaisim tov. Okay? Here's how a tzaddik, like the Dagomachar Ephraim, reads the pasuk. Ela told us Yaakov. These are the toldos of Yaakov. You remember Rashi back by Ela toldos Noach? What does toldos Noach mean? These are what? Lelamedcha she'ikar toldoseim shel tzadikim maisim tovim. The primary what? The primary toldos, children of the tzaddik, are his good deeds. We create malachim through our actions. So the chronicles, the history, the story, or maybe told us as children, of Yaakov is Yosef. In other words, what is Yaakov producing in the world? What are his toldos? Yosef. What is Yosef? Shayatamid holech madrega lemadrega umosef aholech b'chol yom tzedakos umaisim tovim. He was constantly Yosef. Yaakov was always a Yosef. What does Rashi say at the beginning of the parsha? For a second, Yaakov thought about retiring. For a second. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva, right? You know the Rashi? Yaakov wanted to have shalva. He wanted to have peace of mind. And what happened? Hashem said, nah, you can't retire. You got to be a doer. So Ela told us Yaakov, the story of Yaakov is a story of Yosef, of always going further in one's avodas Hashem. To increase one's tzedakos u'maisim tovim. What does the pasuk say? Yosef ben Shiva Asrei. Yosef was 17 years old. What is 17? Hainu hosafa haisa litov gematria yud zayin. 17 is gematria tov. We just said Rashi and Parshas Noach. The toldos of a tzaddik are his maisim tovim. So Yaakov was Yosef tov. He increased his good deeds. Hayaroa esachav batzon. Again, the pashup shot. Yosef is 17 years old and he's shepherding with his brothers and the sheep. But al pipnimius, what does it mean? Roa esachav batzon means hainu. Roa, hainu, miyacher umachaber umakasher. Roa could mean to shepherd, but it could also be like vahafta lereacha kamocha, which means what? To care for someone, to connect to someone. It's a lashon of achva and reyus. So what does it mean? He was roa esachav batzon. He was connected to what? Ulakach nikra roa tzon b'lashon roa. A roa tzon, a shepherd, has to show compassion and care and concern for the sheep and keep them together that they shouldn't wander off. Roa, to shepherd them together. To be miyachid yichudim, to pull things together. Al shem shu miyachid machaber tzon al makom echad. Shalo yispazru anav ana. Don't let the sheep wander off. That's the goal of a shepherd, to keep it together. You ever think about that? Chazal say that all the great tzaddikim of Jewish history were shepherds. Why? Because a shepherd's job is to keep the flock together. You could say that on a Ben Adam L'Chavero level. You could understand that as a Ben Adam L'Makom level. Again, anyone who's come to the Avodas Pnim share the last 2 weeks, this makes a lot more sense. We spoke a lot about how the world of the Yetzirah is the world of breaking things into pratim. And the world of Avodas Hashem is recognizing that there's a oneness that permeates all that I do. That my Shabbos is connected to my davening, is connected to my kashrus, is connected to my learning, is connected to my sitting in the sukkah and sukkahs. So to be a roa means to keep it together. V'husha amr shumi yachid es echov, haynu kol Yisrael v'nitzutzei hashchina kiv'yachol. What does it mean to be roa es echov? It means he brings together all of the Jewish people. His efforts are on behalf of Klal Yisrael, b'shem kol Yisrael, like some people say before doing a mitzvah. Hakol hayamalu matakin osama yidei yichudim kadoshim she'asa batzon. It said he was roa esachav. He kept everyone together with tzon. So he says tzon is a yichud. Quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. Tzon is a yichud. Okay, I'm going to tell you how tzon is a yichud. Usually I skip over these things, but I'll tell you this one because a little bit I know how to say it. The word tzon, which means sheep, right, is a yichud. What does a tzaddik see when he sees the word tzon? So he sees tzadi aleph nun. What's tzadi aleph? 91. What's 91? It's Hashem's name, the way that it's written, and the way that we pronounce it. Right? How is Hashem's name written? Yud and hey and vav and hey. We never say it that way. We pronounce it Ado, right? Aleph, Dalet, and Nun, and Yud. So Yud Kei Vav Kei, that name of Hashem, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey is Gematria 26. The way we pronounce it is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud, which is 65. 26 and 65 is 91. That's why when someone says a bracha, what do you answer? Amen. What's the Gematria of Amen? So Tzon is Tzadi Aleph, that's 91. What's the Nun? Where's Nun on the board? It said Nun. Is Gvura Nun? Is Tiferes Nun? Is Netzach Nun? Is Hod Nun? Yesod Nun? Mal? No, JV, what do you say? You say, I don't know what you're talking about. That's what you say. Okay? Malchus is Nun. Why is Malchus Nun? Good question. Take my word for it for now. Malchus is Nun. Malchus is the lowest. And we know that there's, sometimes we talk about 10, sometimes we talk about 50 madrigos. Malchus is connected to Nun. So Malchus, so to speak, the final expression of Hashem in the Sphiros, Malchus is associated with Hashem manifesting Himself in this world. Another way to say Malchus is to say Shechina. Right, we talk about the Shechina. The Shechina is Hashem manifesting Himself within reality as we know. Okay? So Nun is associated with Shechina, is associated with Malchus. You open up a Siddur, and you see sometimes people, before they perform a mitzvah, recite, L'shem yichud kutcha brichu shchintei. For the sake of the unification of Hashem and His Shechina. So that's what Tzon is. Tzadi Aleph is Hashem. It's Hashem's name, the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. Nun is the Shechina. So the word Tzon, Tzadi Aleph, joined with a Nun, is so to speak, the Yichud of Kutcha Brichu Shechintei. Hashem as understood above and beyond, and Hashem as manifesting Himself within reality. Hashem who's soviv kol almim, who surrounds the world, and Hashem who's mamale kol almim, who fills the worlds. Our goal is to try to bring that together. So it says the Baal Shem Tov, that's what the word Tzon is. Tzon is the ultimate unification of Kutcha Brichu Shechinte. Tzadi Aleph is Hashem's name, Yudkei Vavkei, as it's written and pronounced. Nun represents the Shechina as manifest down below. So therefore, Eila told us Yaakov, look, he's reading a pasuk in Chumash, it's unbelievable. We read the pasuk, we say there's a guy named Yaakov, he has a son named Yosef, and he's 17 years old, and he's a shepherd. Shkayach. The Zohar says, you're not bikaris if you stop there. He literally just destroyed the Torah. The Zohar says, you're not bikaris, and the Degel Machon Ephraim ups the ante and says, and you don't even have a brain in your skull. What does it really mean? Eila told us Yaakov. Yaakov is the message of Klal Yisrael. We're all called Yaakov. We're B'nai Yaakov. And our avoda is to be Yosef. Our avoda is to be Moisef Aholech. That's what Chanukah is all about. Keep going. Increase the light. And how old is Yosef? 17. Gematria Tov. Because the goal is to be Yosef Tov. To do more mitzvos u'ma'asim tovim. To do more good deeds. How do I do that? I'm Roa Esachov. I try to keep unity in my life. Ben Adam L'chaveru and Ben Adam L'makom. I tried to be Roa Esachav Batzon by uniting Kutcha Brichu Shechinte, Tzadi Aleph and Nun, to try to keep the pieces together. Let's keep going. V'hu Nar Es B'nei Bilha. And Yosef is friendly, right, with the B'nei Bila. He hangs out. He was a youth with the sons of Bila. What does that mean? Shayimin Na'er U'mafrid Me'alav HaKlipos VaKochos HaTuma. What does Na'ar mean? His Na'ari Me'afarkumi. What does that mean? Like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Hisnari me afar kumi. What does Hisnari mean? Hisnari me afar, shake off the dust, kumi, and get up. So na'ar means to shake off. So what does it mean that he was na'ar as b'nei bila? He shook off b'nei bila. He shook off the b'nei bila. What does it mean? Yaakov Avinu, and again, every one of us has to try to be Menayer, try to shake off as we continue to further attach ourselves to Hashem with a focus of a oneness. We have to shake off Umafrid Me'alav HaKlipos VeKochos Atoma. Shake off all of the negative kochos. Bilha actually means a lashon of like weakness. Shake off the weaknesses. Nishay Aviv. Pashup Pshat, his father's wife. Deeper Pshat, Shayirotim Lashkiach Vimenu Aviv Shabashamayim. What does the word Nishay mean? What does it mean in a Hadron? Hadron Allah Mesechas Avodah Zarah. Vahadra Chalan. Daitan Allah Vedaita Chalan. Yeah? Lo what? What's the next? Lo Nisna Shay Minach Mesechas Avodah Zarah. Lo Sisna Shay Minan. What does that mean? Sisnashay, Nishnashay. Why was Menashe called Menashe? Yosef said, Kinashani Elokim. What does Nash mean? Nash means to forget. So shake off those things that are Nishay Aviv, that cause you to forget Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. Get rid of those things in your life. Be Roas Achav Batzon. Pull everything together. Shake off whatever's causing you to be weak. Shake off those things that cause you to forget Hashem. Ve'yaveh Yosef as Nibasam Ra'ah El Avihem. Pashup Shat, Yosef is a tattletale. Yosef is bringing bad reports to his father. Pashup Shat. Deeper Pshat, Yosef is bringing Dibasam Ra'ah El Avihem. What does that mean? Hainu kol advarim shayo olam osim below das. When a person has dvarim ra'im, a person has dibasam ra'ah, a person does things in this world that are imperfect, the tzaddik is working to what? To bring those things el avihem. You mumble through your davening, but the tzaddik hopefully takes your broken tfilos and brings it el avihem, and brings it to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So it's not Yosef saying bad reports, it's actually Yaakov, as the tzaddik who's trying to increase his efforts in the world, he's taking the bad things and trying to attach them to Hashem. Uvelo das nefesh l'tov. Without das, a person's no good. So you need a tzaddik to help you to lift up your brokenness. Vehu bechinas rachalila. Vezes dibasam ra'ah. He takes the dibasam ra'ah. Hayehu mevi osan advarm elaviyam. Hayinu shahayim akasher osam l'sharsham. He takes those things and brings it to the shorash. Vahavein kikain reisi v'shamati min adoni avi zakeini zatzal. I saw this and I heard this from my grandfather Baal Shem Tov. Umi yitin lavol madrega zos be'emes. And who can halavai reach such a level? What he means is, and he says it in Parshas Mitzora, that there are two types of tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim who are able to lift people up through Torah and Tefillah, and there are tzaddikim who are able actually to lift people up through mundane conversations. Sichas chulin shel talmidei chacham. The higher level is to be able to talk about nothing and to talk about the deepest things in the world. Because sometimes people say, Torah is not my thing. Okay, you know what about Torah? Let's talk about something that interests you. Baal Shem Tov would come into town. He would sit down with a bunch of amaratzim. He'd say, you want to learn Torah? No thanks, Rabbi. Okay, what do you guys do for a living? We drive carriages. Oh yeah, let's talk about horses then. You guys know a lot about horses. We know a lot about. Yeah, we're always busy with horses. Okay, let's talk about horses. And Baal Shem Tov would sit with them for hours talking about horses, right? And those Jews became Baalei Tshuva afterwards. Something happened in those conversations, right? They were lifted up through a conversation about horses. People who didn't know what was going on thought the Baal Shem Tov was nuts. His own Talmidim, his future Talmidim, the Tolus Yaakov Yosef, the Magid of Mezrich. They said, who is this guy coming here dressed like a Rebbe talking about horses? Who is this? What's he talking about? What's he doing? He's sitting around telling people these crazy stories. And everyone's flocking to him. Right? What kind of drugs is he giving them? Like, what's going on here? Why are people are leaving the Beis Medrash to go hear stories about horses? But the way the Baal Shem Tov told the story about a horse could be mechazik you more then, you know, a certain type of Rosh Hashiva could give you a shir and yavamis. Right? But not everyone's able to do that. So this is the madrega that's being described here. Again, Eila told us Yaakov, what was Yaakov's avoda? Yosef. To always be Mosef Aholich. To be Mosef Aholich, what? Ben Shiva Asrei Shana. Shiva Asrei is Gmatria Tov. To always do Maisim Tovim. And how did he do that? Hayeroa Sechav Batzon. He was making Yehudim by pulling all the pieces of the world together. And how does one do that? You have to shake off Nar as B'nai Bila, shake off your weaknesses, right? That's B'nai Zilpa. Nishay Aviv, those things that cause you to nishay, to forget Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. And then you're able to what? Vayaveh Yosef as Diba Samra. That through those Yosef, through those efforts, you're able to take the Diba Samra, you're able to take silly speech and to be able to connect it back to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. To bring Diba Samra El Aviyam. To bring stories about horses, to make real emes dika yidin and Balei Tshuva out of stories about horses. And not all tzaddikim, says the Baal Shem Tov, were able to do such a thing. But that was the inner avoda of Yaakov Avinu. Again, all hinted to in this one little pasuk. Unbelievable. Okay. How does a person conquer their fears? Let's do the next piece. Oye Amar Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Kanaan. How do you overcome your fears of the world? Do you know the Brisker Rav literally sat in his house with bombs falling around him, and he wasn't afraid? How do you sit in the middle of a war zone and not be worried? And the answer is, what do you mean? Enod Mavado. Yeah, that's like a nice vart, you know, when you're sitting in the Beis Medrash with like a cup of coffee, and it's peace and tranquility, right? But when there's literally bombs going off around you, what do you mean, Enod Mavado? The Brisker Rav, Enod Mavado, Kipshuto. Hashem runs the world. Nothing can happen to me unless Hashem wants it to happen to me. It's not any more dangerous today than it was on a day that's perfectly calm. When a person has real awe and respect and fear of Hashem, so then you're not afraid of anything in the world. V'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz megurei av be'eretz kanan. Yeshlomer b'zed derech remez al derech hayadua. Kishezoche adam v'nichnas liyira pnimius. When a person has real yira, Azai bottom imenu kol hayiros chitzonios shayyar mehem batchila. Then all of his initial superficial fears, anxieties, insecurities, they all fall away. Vinichnaim lefanav, and they're submitted to him. They're humbled before him. They're made small in his eyes, because he lives in the presence of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. Ashrei adam mefachei tamid. Praiseworthy is the one who's always in a state of pachad, a state of awe of Hashem. Because then life's not as scary. Because you're not so worried, am I going to get the job, am I going to get the shidduch, am I going to get the this, am I going to get the that. It doesn't matter, it's fine, everything's fine. Hashem runs the world, and I know that with the clarity. V'inei le'el b'parshas v'yetze, what was the midah of Yitzchak? Pachad Yitzchak, gvura. We saw earlier in parshas v'yetze, Yaakov refers to the pachad Yitzchak hayali. My father's fear, my father's dread is upon me. Again, Yaakov is the blend of Avraham and Yitzchak. He took the best of the world of Avraham, the best of the world of Yitzchak. Yitzchak's world is Yira, is Gvura, is Pachad. So Yaakov says, Pachad Yitzchak hayali. I have Pachad Yitzchak. Yaakov Avinu says, I have the real Yira, the real inner fear and awe of Hashem. V'lo yiras lavan. Not the fear of lavan. Yavan, you can't scare me, lavan. You can't threaten me. You can't harm me. I'm not afraid of you. I come from Yitzchak. I know what real yiras shemayim is. And if I have yiras shemayim, then I'm not afraid of another human being. V'lakach memeila haya lavan nichna lafana v'lo haya yachalo. And when lavan hears that, lavan backs off. Oh, you have fear of God, then you're not going to be afraid of me for anything in the world. And Yaakov says, exactly. So now, Vayeshev Yaakov, Vizeo Vayeshev Yaakov, Shinisyashev b'megurei aviv. Yaakov lived, so to speak, where? B'megurei aviv. Yaakov lived in the land of his fathers. In other words, Yaakov walked in the footsteps of Yitzchak. What does that mean? Shinisyashev b'megurei aviv shabashamayim. The same way that his actual father lived in the presence of Hashem, Yaakov also, so to speak, lived in the place of his father in heaven. Shu yira pnimius. He had real yiras shemayim. Mugure is a lashon of vayagar Moav. When Moav was afraid, when they saw what the Jewish people were doing as they were marching towards Eretz Yisrael. So Yaakov lived with an awe of Hashem. And what does the pasuk say? He had mugure aviv be'eretz kanaan. You know what happens when you have Megurei Aviv, when you have real Yiras Shemayim? Then Eretz Kanaan. Hainu, kol artzios v'yira chitzonios Kanaan. Kanaan is a lashon of bittul, of humility. Kniya means to be submissive. Right? We say it in V'lam al-Shinim, if you daven the Nesach Svard. We use that shoresh. It's a lashon of overcoming. So Be'eretz Kanan, if you live in Megurei Aviv, if you have fear of Hashem, then whatever fears and anxieties a person has Be'eretz, it's Kanan. It's all pushed down. It's all less important to you. Hakol hayu nechnam ubetelim lefanov, v'lo haya lahem shum shlita klal alav. They're not afraid of anything in the world. You could have a loved one who's ready to fight, and Yaakov says, hold on, do you know who I am? I come from Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak Hayali. Oh, forget it. Okay. I can't intimidate this guy. When a person has a clarity of Hashem, you're not afraid of things. And you're able to walk into your boss, I'll leave early on Friday. You're with your boss. But you're more, you know, trying to do about driving when you're like 5 minutes before Shabbos. I'm more afraid of that. So I have to do what I gotta do. My boss has to know his place in the hierarchy of reality. Shabbos is more important than this job. And my Yira Shemayim is more clear to me than my Yira of my boss. Yeah.
Is this similar to the concept that if you're like feeling pain in one part of your body, you're like trying to like pinch your fingers so that you like stop feeling
pain? Try to move it else. Yeah. Yeah, there is a... I use this the opposite direction. I mean, I try to sometimes take my fears in this world and try to use it and like think about Hashem in that moment. So if you're nervous about something, right, to try to attend, since it's very hard for us, I think, I'll speak for myself, to have, you know, a real yira of Hashem, right, a real fear of Hashem. So when I'm afraid, when something scares me in this world, so I try, if I can, to attach it to Hashem. I try to channel. If I feel anxious, I try to reverse it and try to, you know, think about Hashem in that moment, right? So again, you're driving on the highway, and all of a sudden you see those lights behind you, right? And you're like, oh, shoot, I'm about to get pulled over, right? So in that moment, instead of just worrying about, you know, the possible consequences of getting a ticket, try to take a little bit of that awe and say, wow, look how scared I am of this cop. I'm not going to jail. And he may not even be coming for me, he may be driving past me, going for the guy next to me. But when you see those lights for half a second, your heart skips a beat. So take that and say, wow, does my heart ever skip a beat like that when I'm, you know, Dominic Shmoneh Esrei? Does my heart skip a beat like that even by Ne'ila of Yom Kippur? Maybe. Most of the time, not. I feel that awe and that dread, you know? Okay, but whatever thing of this world got me, you know, to feel, so channel it towards Hashem. But the opposite is also true. To the degree that you have real awareness of Hashem, you're not afraid of anything in this world. And that's the point he's trying to make. Yaakov had the fear, the pachad of Yitzchak, and because of that, Eretz, Canaan. Everything of this world was Canaan. It was all suppressed beneath that true Yira Pnimius. Okay, let's go on to the next piece. Od Yirmaz v'yeshav Yaakov v'gomer eile toldos Yaakov. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Ger anochi ba'aretz, al taster mimeni mitzvosecha. David HaMelech says, I am a ger in the land. I am a ger in this land. Please, Hashem, don't hide your mitzvos from me. What? What do those two parts of the pasuk have to do with each other? Ger anochi ba'aret al taster mimeni mitzvosecha. I'm a ger in this land, so don't conceal your mitzvos from me. What? I don't even understand what David Melch is saying. What's the pashup shot? So the Toldos Yaakov Yosef explains. L'chor einum muvan klal. I don't understand even what the words mean. Ki mitzvos einum sturim klal. Mitzvos are not hidden at all. Mitzvos are mefurashim b'minyanum b'pratam. Go read that. What do you mean? Don't hide your mitzvos from me. David Melch, hey, David, pick up a Mishnah Brura, and then you'll know what to do. What do you mean? No, but I'm a ger, so don't hide your mitzvahs from me. You're saying what? You're living in a neighborhood where there's no svar? I don't understand what you're saying, David HaMelech. What do you mean? Mitzvahs are not hidden. Mitzvahs are explicated by the Torah. And what does that have to do, says the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, says the Dermach Nefraim, what does it have to do with what? With the fact that he's a ger. V'gam heich toloi b'zeshu ger baretz. What does that have to do with the fact that he's a ger? Ach eininu kach. And I like this piece. I don't know. This piece resonates with me in a deep way. Derech mashal. One of the most painful things is to feel lonely. Right? It's important. If you see someone who you think doesn't have a lot of friends or is not doing so well socially, then you can remove a person's feeling of loneliness. It's one of the greatest kindnesses you can do for a person. Being lonely is a real struggle. Feeling lonely can be a really, really big struggle for a person. And even a person who, you know, is well connected and has a lot of people in their life, whenever you have those lonely moments, right? And you find someone to connect with, it can mamish, you know, save a person. So now imagine you're a ger. I'm not talking about a convert, I'm talking about a person who's traveling. A person who's not in their home place, yeah? Let's say you're in China on business, yeah? You don't know anyone. And then all of a sudden, you run into some guy, yeah, who lived on the same, you know, floor as you when you were in the dorms in YU. And you pass this guy every day, and you really never said more than, like, hi to him. But now you see this guy, you know, in the middle of nowhere. You're like, hey, how's it going? So good to see you. And all of a sudden, you guys are like, you know, best friends. You really get into a good conversation, right? You're both lonely. You're both looking for someone to connect to, right? And in that moment of feeling like a ger, so you want to be connected. You want to share something with another human being who at least you feel there's some shred of connection to. So derech mashal kishager baliir, when a person, a stranger, comes to town and he's feeling lonely, ein lo shumakir sheyakarvu etzlo, and he doesn't have any relatives or any friends, contemporaries to invite him in. Atchapaga bechavero ger, his chilu menashkim zezev v'davku atzum yachad. All of a sudden, he sees someone who's also, you know, traveling on business in that place, and he runs over and says, "Hey, how's it going?" He gives him a big hug. He's so happy to see him. V'chol echad ein megala mistorav umatzpunav, ela leger chavero umegala kolibo v'chol mistorav. And sometimes, yeah, you can get into a conversation with that other person on the train, who you may never see again, you know? You're both just like wandering together and you're both feeling lonely. And you get into this really deep conversation and you're sharing secrets with some stranger, basically a stranger, who you wouldn't share with someone who you're very close with. You're being megala, your secrets, right? You're pouring out to each other on the plane. So all of a sudden you get into this really deep conversation. V'zei yesh lamar. So you know what David HaMelech says to Hashem? David HaMelech calls Hashem out on something, which is a very painful sugya. It's a very deep sugya. Hashem is also lonely. How could Hashem not be lonely? Hashem has no one who gets him, right? Hashem has no contemporaries. It must be very lonely to be Hashem. We think, well, Hashem, you have all the power in the world. You know everyone, right? In a certain sense, Hashem is the most connected. In a certain sense, Hashem is the least understood of anyone. So David HaMelech says to Hashem, listen, Hashem, I'm David HaMelech, and I have a lot of loneliness in my life also. What do you mean? You're a melech. Yeah, you're also a melech, Hashem. But I know sometimes being on top can be a very lonely place. It's hard. David HaMelech, you think David HaMelech had, like, close friends? It's hard to have friends when you're David HaMelech. Right? Who's Hashem's friends? Oh, you can say, all of Klal Yisrael. True. On a certain level. So David HaMelech says to Hashem, here's what David HaMelech says to Hashem. Listen to this. V'zei yesh lomar. Shekivein David HaMelech olav v'shalom b'tfilasam. David HaMelech says, Ger anochi baretz. Hashem, sometimes I feel lost in the world. And David HaMelech is hinting to Hashem, and Hashem, guess what? I know you sometimes also feel lost in the world. We're both wanderers. We're both trying to find our place. V'Hashem yizbarach baruch hu kiviyachol hu gam ken ger ba'olam hazeh. Hashem, I know you're also a ger in this world. I know you also feel a little out of place in this world, as much as you're trying to make for yourself a diro b'tachtonim. On one level, it's very natural. On one level, it's very unnatural. She'ein lahasig b'zeh ha'olam kol zman shemalubash b'chumrius. It's hard for you, Hashem, to express yourself in a world of physicality. Etzem elokuso yizbarach. The essence of you can't manifest itself in this world. Through the spheros, we see various manifestations of you. But God himself, we don't even know a clue what it is. We can't see it, we can't smell it, we can't hear it, we can't understand it. It's completely hidden. Etzem elokuso yizbarach is hidden. V'gam anochi ger ba'aretz. So therefore, what does David HaMelech say? Al taster mimeni mitzvosecha. Don't hide your mitzvos from me. Like two guys sitting on a train or a plane who are both wanderers and feeling lonely, and all of a sudden they get into this really deep conversation. David HaMelech says, Hashem, I know you're lonely, and I'm also lonely. We both know that this world is an almud d'shikra, and we both know that we're here for a purpose, and we're trying to do something good, but we also both know that it's a very lonely existence in this world. So David HaMelech says, so don't hide your secrets from me. Hashem, let's talk. David HaMelech is va'ani tefila. He's the essence of tefila, the essence of communication with Hashem. Al taster mimenu mitzvosecha doesn't mean don't hide your mitzvos from me. What do you mean? Pick up a shulchan aruch, go see what the mitzvos are. No. David HaMelech says, don't hide mitzvos. Is a lashon of what? Of tzavsa, lashon tzavsa dveikus. Hashem, you need someone to connect with. I need someone to connect with. So let's get together. Let's be connected. It goes back to what we said earlier. L'shem yichud kutshabrichu shchintay. David, I told you, is Malchus. Malchus is Shechina. David HaMelech says, I'm Shechina, and you're kutshabrichu. Let's get together. L'shem yichud kutshabrichu shchintay. You feel like a ger by yourself. I feel like a ger by myself. Let's get together. Sisrei toiraschu mitzvasecha tzfunim v'chasumim b'toichin kol mitzvah mitzvah. Of course you can read a Shulchan Aruch and know what to do. But the secrets of Torah, you want to share it with someone? You need someone you can trust who's also a wanderer? I'm also a wanderer, says David HaMelech. Kedarko shel ger shelo legalos mistorav kiim leger chaveiro kamoso. Like a ger who only wants to share his secrets with someone who can relate to that plight of wandering and feeling lonely. So now, says the Galach and Ephraim, how does it connect to our pasuk? V'gam yesh lomar shemarami is a pasuk. V'yeshev Yaakov b'megurei aviv. What does it mean? Yaakov also dwelt in what? In the megurei aviv. He was also a ger like aviv, like Avinu Shabashamayim. Someone prove it to me from last week's parsha. I mentioned it last night by the Fabrengen. No. V'yevaser Yaakov levado. And Veniskav, Hashem levado, right? Yaakov is lonely and Hashem is lonely. So Yaakov says, V'yeshev Yaakov beretz megurei aviv. Yaakov says, I'm a ger just like you, Hashem. And therefore what? Reveal to me your secrets. Hanu shehinig atzmo begeirus. That he acted like a ger. The same way it says, V'yagar Yitzchak. The same way it says that Yaakov was a ger. It says Yitzchak was a ger. It says that Avram was a ger. V'chein ba'avram ger v'toshav. All the tzaddikim know that there's a certain existential loneliness that an Eved Hashem has to feel. Right? There's something very private about Avodas Hashem that no one can really understand my connection to Hashem. But that's okay, because no one can understand Hashem. When you admit that you're alone with Hashem, you acknowledge that you feel a little bit lonely, and you recognize that Hashem must feel a little bit lonely, then you're able to attach yourself to Hashem in a deeper way. I think that's a very, very, very deep Torah. I hope it makes sense to you. I hope I'm explaining it in a way that's saying something. But I think it's a very, very, it's a very serious and very deep idea. To be able to feel the loneliness of being an Eved Hashem, it's okay to admit that. I think it's a very real thing. And to be able to recognize that Hashem is just as lonely, if not infinitely more lonely than any of us, you know, any of us find ourselves in our loneliest moments. It's a very, very deep idea. All right, let's end with one more. Rav Soloveitchik was a lonely man of faith. Yeah, but yeah, there's a loneliness. I mean, it's part of that idea. Yes, it's true, right? The world certainly doesn't get me, right? But even my best friend doesn't really get me. There's a depth to my soul. The soul is an infinite thing. So if I had all the time in the world, I couldn't explain it to someone else, and they couldn't explain their soul to me, right? But that bond of loneliness is part of how Jews bond together, and it's how we bond ourselves to Hashem. I think it's mamash a deep idea. I think it's just very true. Yeah.
David HaMelech saying this, how would you, there's a connection to, it seems like, to the Torah of Ein Melech Belo Am. It seems deeper.
Right, Ein Melech Belo Am.
Because that's like surface level, but this is like more.
Right. Right, again, on the surface, David HaMelech is the most connected of all, right? Meaning, he's the king. He could demand everyone to be his friend. He could do whatever he wants. He's connected. He has a shaychus to every individual. But because of that, he's really not connected to anyone. Again, I think it just resonates with us in our world today. We live in a time of the greatest connectivity in terms of being able to network socially, and we're the loneliest we've ever been, I think, in history. We have too many fake friends and very few real friends. Too many fake relationships, not enough real deep relationships. But that creates an opportunity to be Vayavasar Yaakov Levado, Veniskav Hashem Levado. It gives us an opportunity to connect to Hashem in a way that maybe was never true to such a degree. Okay, let's go to Vateshev Vepesach Einayim. We'll end with this piece. It's sort of two pieces together. We'll end with this. Vateshev b'pesach einayim ki rasa ki gadal sheila v'hi lo nitna lo l'isha v'yachshevel l'zona ki chissa panel. In Perek Lamed Ches, sort of the middle section, in the break in the story of Yaakov and Yosef and the brothers, you have the story of Yehuda and Tamar. Right? The story says, the Torah tells us, there was a time that Yehuda went down from his brothers and turned away toward an Adulamite man whose name was Chira. Yehuda saw the daughter of a prominent merchant whose name was Shua. He married her and consorted with her. They had a son who was named Er. They had another son whose name was Onan. They had another son whose name was Shelah. And Yehuda took a wife for Er. Her name was Tamar. Er died. Then he married Onan. Died. What's going to be? Shelah. Too young, can't get married, okay. And then Tamar goes down, of course, to the crossroads, and she dresses herself up like an Isha Zona. And Yehuda comes, and he comes in this very strange scene, and he hires this harlot down by the road. He doesn't recognize it's his own daughter-in-law, since she covered her face, like the Pasuk says, ki kissa panel. And the whole strange incident, right, which eventually leads to, came to pass. Tamar is pregnant, they take her out to be killed. She says, whoever these things belong to is the father of the child. Yehuda says, Tzadka mimeni, the child's for me. She's righteous, she's innocent, don't hurt her. And Tamar gives birth to twins. And it's foreshadowing a lot of Mashiach. Peretz and Zarach are born. And then we're back to Yosef and Mitzrayim. Now it's this strange interlude in the middle of the parsha. Perek Lamed Ches. Okay, what does it mean for all of us? Yeah. Good question. There's a lot of questions on this story. The whole Yehuda Tamar, it's the roots of Mashiach. It's the strangest of stories. Right. All of a sudden, she's being taken out to be killed for being involved with a man in an inappropriate way. And now that it's Yehuda, all of a sudden, okay, now it's, now she's absolved. She didn't do anything wrong. It's my fault. Yeah, but she was still a prostitute down by the crossroads. So what do you mean? Now that it's your fault, so now she's off the hook? Good question. All right, we have our homework for Shabbos. Perek Lamed Ches. I don't know. There's a lot to work on. Let's see how he explains it to us. Let's see what Degmach and Ephraim says. I'm not sure. Yesh lomar b'zeh b'derech remes. The Torah is called Tamar. How is the Torah called Tamar? So he says, Ki haTorah nikris Tamar. Ki tarag mitzvos. There are 613 mitzvos. And how many letters of the Torah? Well, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, but there's also 5 Sofit letters. So there's really 27 letters. So 613 mitzvos, plus the 27 letters, which are the building blocks of the Torah, to be able to write the Torah, and from which to create the world. 613 and 27 is 640, is Gematria Tamar. So the name Tamar alludes to Torah. Okay. So let's learn the story of Yehuda and Tamar as a story of a Jew's relationship with Torah. Okay, and we'll end with this. He named Itchila Kishamaschil Lomo Torah. When a person begins to learn Torah, HaTorah Oselo Taiva Lomar Ezeb Shat Odrush Kadeshia Locheshak Lomor. When a person first starts to learn, so you start to get into it Shana Aleph. Yeah? Not that you're not allowed to learn Torah before Shana Aleph, but I think for probably many of us, that was sort of a breakthrough time period in our life. So you start to get into learning, And all of a sudden you start, you've got good questions during Shir, you've got good answers during Shir, you're saying your own Chidushim, you have your own Pshat, your own Drush, you're answering Rabbi Kiva Eger's question, you're inferring what Tosos is going to ask, you're making connections, and that's all very good. That's part of you becoming excited about learning. Va'af shehi shelo lishma. But as the Dechamach and Ephraim often reminds us, sometimes, those really pumped up moments, we're not really learning Torah for the right reason. It's just, I feel good that I'm like a shtark guy. I feel good that I'm getting smart at Torah. I feel good that my Rebbe is giving me kavod. It's like, oh, gevaldik a question. Wow, look at that. Mamish a young Rebbe Akiva Eger. Yeah. So it's not lishma. It's not the purpose of learning. For our own honor, for our own esteem, for our own intellect. Im kol zeh mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. Vizel v'teshev tamar. So it starts off that a person is what? Is teshev tamar. You sit down with the Torah, right? Mar b'yeshiva, mar b'chachma. More yeshiva equals more wisdom, more Torah wisdom. So you sit down and you start to learn the Torah. Tamar, we're saying, is a code word for Torah. And where are you sitting? B'pesach einayim. Your eyes are starting to open up. Pesach einayim in Pashup Shah means she's sitting down by the crossroad. But pesach einayim, your eyes start to open up, right? As it says back in Bereishis, the first time someone opened their eyes and got excited about something, of course, was actually sinful. It was Chava looking at a tree that was forbidden to her and saying, ah, tava hila einayim. It was pleasing in her eyes. She wanted to taste the fruit. So you sit down, you start to learn. You get all excited, your eyes start to light up a little bit. That's good. Hainu bepesach bepsichas advarim, at the beginning of one's learning, osalo taiva v'cheshek. So Hashem lets you come up with some good ideas. You say a good vart. You have a good question. Ula yavo mizel tachlis ha'amiti v'yilmod lishma. And maybe you'll come from that to what? To learning lishma. To understand what the real purpose of learning Torah is, which is a relationship with God, not you sounding smart. But you know what happens? And chevra, you can't deny it. It's a sad reality. How many of our own friends, think about it, I can tell you that many more, from my own friends from Shana Aleph, in the year Tavshin Samach, 20 years ago, I can tell you, certainly I can tell it to you through the perspective of Talmidim, who I've, you know, learned with over the years, right? How many guys who were once like really steiging in yeshiva are mamish like anti-Torah today? On a surface level. Obviously, Elokai neshama shenasat to be Torah. You know I believe in that. And their soul of souls, they want to be good Jews. But sometimes when you're like, you were doing like the whole really super stark thing for a while, and you didn't absorb it in a healthy way, and you never transitioned to like a real relationship with Hashem, not only do you lose that, you know, that geschmack, that fire for Torah, but you become super negative towards Torah. So it starts off, says the Machane Ephraim, right? Person sits down with the Torah of a Teisha of Tamar, yeah? You sit down with Pesach Einayim, you're sitting down with eyes wide open, you're all excited, you're really into it, but if you don't make that transition to something more real and something more deep and something more mature, you know what happens? Tamar becomes a prostitute. The Torah becomes a repulsive zona in your eyes. Right? You're annoyed at your Rebbe Shana Aleph for trying to build you into something that was totally unsustainable. For giving you all sorts of demyonos in your mind of, you know, what a life of Yiddishkeit is going to look like. And then you wake up and you're trying to figure out how to pay your bills and you're totally lost in the world. And you're not sure what to do. You look yourself in the mirror like, why am I wearing a white shirt? Well, like, what am I even trying to say with this white shirt? And now I'm all confused. So you know what? So now I'm going to stop wearing white shirts. I'm going to stop wearing tzitzis also. If it would have just been normal, like the whole way through, you would have been a normal, good Eved Hashem. But because you like tried to, you know, you tried to have Pesach Einayim, you tried to sit with eyes wide open, and you never transitioned, so now you're angry at Torah. Look what he writes. Achisharasa shenishar bezeh ve'enu mesim alibo klal. She'en ze ikar hatachlis. But if you don't make that transition from the world of learning Torah as a competitive sport, and again, I know I'm adding a lot to the words of the Degel Machane Ephraim, but I'm trying to bring it to life because I think it's so real. If you don't make that transition, and you just use the Torah as a way to feel smart or to get kavod, so eventually, after a while, Hashem is going to close off those channels. At the beginning, Hashem lets you have those, you know, that openness, Pesach Einayim, because Hashem wants you to have a good time with Torah. But if you don't make the transition, Hashem says, I'm not giving you any more geshmak, no more chidushim. And if you don't make the transition then, the Torah is going to become dark and ugly to you. Az haTorah masteres paneh mimenu. The Torah covers its face from you. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha. Hashem should shine His light upon you. The countenance of His face upon you. If you're not learning Torah the right way, Hashem closes your eyes. U'miskasa mimenu. Like Tamar, who's standing at the crossroads with what? With her face covered. All of a sudden, the Torah conceals itself from you. Ve'eino rova ur ha-Torah. And you don't see the light of the Torah. Ve'nid malo she'ein pnimius b'Torah. And you start to become negative. You go to college, you take a couple of, you know, classes that suck all the life out of the Torah. And you start to say, well, it's just Sipurei Maisios. And you start to do biblical criticism. You start to question the author of the Torah. You start to question the ideas of the Torah. And the morality of the Torah. And it turns into Sipurei Maisios. Until eventually, because you failed. Okay, now so let's make sure we understand the connection, right? Tamar, what happened? Er died, and then Onan died, and then Shelah is still too young. Yeah? Where are these words? Ah, Pasuk Yod. The Pasuk says, where is it? Vayomer Yehuda l'Tamar kalaso, shvi almana beis avich ad yigdal shema. Right? Go back, go be an almana, go be a widow in your father's house until Shela grows up. Yeah? And where does she go? She goes and becomes a prostitute instead with this whole strange scene. So what does it mean, like, get out of here until Shela, until you grow up, until Shela grows up? Who's Shela? What's Shela? So he says a very deep secret here. He says Shela is like the words Shiloh, ki yavo Shiloh. He says Shela is the same gematria as the word Moshe. Moshe is connected to Torah Lishma. Lishma is Limoshe. Okay? He's hinting to a lot of different things here. But essentially, when Yehuda says to Tamar, get lost, it's basically Hashem saying to a Jew who failed to transition from Torah Lo Lishma to Torah Lishma, get lost until you grow up. The Torah is not for you to feel stark. That's not the purpose of Torah. I didn't give you Torah to be smarter and to put your chavrusa down. That's not what it's about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chases you out. Vihi lo nitna lo, right? Tamar can't get married yet to Shela because you're not holding by Lishma. You're not holding by the level of Lemosha, Lishma. V'lo bal is also madreg. You're not on that level. So therefore, az ha-Torah masteras atzmi menu, the Torah hides itself from you. And now you become bitter and you start to look at the Torah as a cheap, lowly prostitute. V'achshevel is zona. The Torah gave me all sorts of, you know, cheap thrills as I was using the Torah for my own pleasures, Shana Aleph, and now I'm a 30-year-old guy living on the Upper West Side, yeah, and I care more about, you know, my sports team, which is doing terribly. I'm like more into rooting for a bad team than I am into nurturing my soul. So what the heck happened to me? And the answer is you never transitioned into a real relationship with Hashem. You never got married. You got chased out. You got chased away by the Torah because Hashem was annoyed that we're using Torah for your own pleasures. And then the Torah hid itself from you. And instead of having the maturity to say the problem is me, you said the problem is the Torah. The Torah is a prostitute. The Torah is misleading. The Torah is making me feel bad about myself. And then I become smarter than the Torah and I start reading all these books by Koifrim to try to explain why the Torah is not really even true and why God doesn't exist. Etc. Etc. Hainusha Torah mechasa or paneh. The Torah hides itself from you. Ve'enu roa klal shum pnimius ba. No. So, chaver, how do you get out of this mess? Vayet elea el haderech. Kishmiyashiv es atzva lintos el Torah leilech v'derech hayasher. But eventually, you turn back towards the path, like we learned at the beginning of today's shir, that the Torah is the derech to guide us. Don't get sucked into the forest by those robbers who are trying to harm you. Yehuda comes back to the crossroad and starts asking around, hey, what happened to the zona that was by the crossroad? But says the Dagamach and Ephraim, you come back to that place with humility. And you start asking the people of the place, in other words, you ask the tzaddikim, what is Torah really about? Because I had some weird, warped version of Torah, which led me really far away from the Torah, but now I'm back, and I want to find what real Torah is. I ask the people who are the real embodiment of Torah. And I say, what happened to that prostitute? And you know what they say to me? Lo haisa bezekadesha. There never was a prostitute here. You had some really warped perspective on what Torah is. The Torah was never a cheap prostitute. The Torah was always holy. Your perspective got messed up. Right? They say to you, "Hainu shesheker hu mashe chashav es haTorah lezona." Your view was off. You thought the Torah was a zona. She'ein b'pnimius, that the Torah wasn't deep and wasn't real, and you read some books, and all of a sudden you threw away your Jewish tradition. Rak ikir haTorah ledavik b'pnimius of our Torah. It's the opposite of everything you believed. Everything you were taught was the lie. All of you, you know, trying to outsmart your chavrusa or learn more hours in the base, that was a lie. That was a sheker of a relationship with Torah. Come learn Torah be'emes now and you'll see that it's deep and it's real. The Cain who seder ha-limud. And how does the limud itself go? Tamar gives birth to twins. The first one is Peretz. The second one is Zarach. The order of learning, betchila v'yikra shemo Peretz, Hainu shalo lishmash hubarishona. At first there needs to be a peretz, a lashon of pritzos, a lashon of upartzu chomos migdalai. First you have to damage the Torah a little bit. You have to breach the Torah. Or in this return, you have to break through all of these challenges. There's a pirtza, there's a lo lishma, but eventually you come to a zarach. You come to an illumination. Zarach is lashon of zricha sachama, like the sun shining bright. And therefore the avoda is, and again, the hour is late, so I'm going to stop here. But he said, peace, it's really a continuation. Right? V'taser bigde almanusa. Take off your clothes. You're dressed like a widow. Take off all of those fake things. Remove all those outer trappings. You've defined your whole hashkafa wrong. And then galenai, then open your eyes for real. Pesachenai, open your eyes for real. Vavito niflos mitorasech. You'll see the wonders of the Torah. So Chavah, that's a very real thing. It's part of what the fight of Chanukah is about. Like I told you, the difference between not just Yevonim and Jews, but real Jews and Mesiavnim. Jews who are compromised Jews, Jews who are living a Yiddishkeit that lacks the pnimius, the depth of what Chanukah is all about. It's a type of Yiddishkeit that's going to lead to mamish znus. You turn the Torah into a zona. Eventually you'll come to question God. You can be a big chacham, you can know the Torah forwards and backwards, but it's a total perversion of Torah. You're mamish using the Torah like a zona. So we should be zocha to be Jews who understand. There's a lo lishma, there's a place for lo lishma. But the goal is lishma. The goal is to have a relationship with Hashem. The goal is to be able to come to Sheila, which is Moshe, to come to Lishma. And to realize that there never was a zona by the crossroads. And that the areas of the Torah that seem most boring and most irrelevant and most, you know, most ridiculous, it's the deep, the more irrelevant it seems like, the pasuk that you read that seems least relevant to you is the one that has the deepest relevance. It's hiding the deepest secrets. It's mamish, the deepest secrets just waiting to be unlocked. Okay, so we should be zoicha. The Or HaGanuz of Chanukah should help us to fix our eyes and to see the pnimius of Torah. Shkoyach. La 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 la